Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. So the book of Revelation from St. John, which we heard in our second reading this morning, it's one of those books that people usually think requires like a lot of explanation, right? And there is, you know, to be sure, there is more than just a little symbolism in this book. You know, if you read it, you've got letters and seals and beasts, horns, crowns, a great red dragon, a woman clothed with the sun, great calamities, great miracles. There's fire, judgment, the sun going dark, the moon turning the color of blood, the mark of the beast, right? All those things that we tend to associate with the end of the world, and which, to those who find themselves caught up in such things, invite both confusion and terror. In the United States especially, movements such as like premillennialism, which is common among our Baptist and evangelical friends, result in, you know, you get all these proposed timelines of the end times, estimated dates, and prophecies of impending disaster, all of which, at least to date, have been proven to be incorrect. I remember growing up, the Left Behind series is very popular. That would be an example of this. Yes, the book of Revelation can be confusing as it is written differently than other parts of Scripture, but at the end of the day, is it really that difficult to at least grasp the gist of it? I don't think it is. Especially when one takes into account the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Also coming to mind are the words of Jesus in John chapter 8. You search the Scriptures because you believe in them, you have eternal life. Truly I tell you, it is them that testify about me. And so we see that first and foremost, the book of Revelation should be approached simply and in the same spirit as every other part of Scripture. It's all about Jesus. And the things that Jesus has done, continues to do, and will do into eternity. As it turns out, the section from Revelation 21 that we heard this morning is pretty self-explanatory. It doesn't require an examination of symbols or metaphors or anything other than an appreciation of the beauty of what St. John is seeing. In the end, this passage from Revelation is useful for understanding the more confusing parts of the book, and indeed all the rest of Holy Scripture, as John sees the culmination of everything God has revealed to us in His Word. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And there it is, the culmination of everything that God has done with and for his people, every promise fulfilled, every loose end tied up. The proper dwelling place of God isn't far away in heaven somewhere, but physically and locally here with his human creation. He is making all things new. He is wiping away our tears. He will be our Father, and we will be his sons. Everything that was true in the Garden of Eden will also be true on that day, and even more. There will be no need to hide from God in shame, no need to learn to love the good and reject the evil, because evil will have already been defeated. No curse, no separation from God, no death. Even the sea will dry up and be no more, as there will exist no separation, geographic or otherwise, among God's people. In the center of it all is the man on the throne, Jesus, reminding us that these words and promises are trustworthy and true. It will truly be finished. This is how St. John the Apostle describes the last day and the final coming of Jesus Christ. And to be sure, it is perhaps true that that day remains far off from this one. However, even if that day doesn't arrive during our earthly lifetimes, if we experience it having already gone through the portal of death and rise to see it anew with the rest of God's resurrected people, that doesn't mean that God has in any way postponed his promises until a later time. Indeed, everything that Jesus promises will be true on the last day is also true now, even if we aren't yet witnessing its final culmination. God's dwelling place is with man. That is just as true now as it will be on the last day, as Jesus comes to us in word and sacrament, and is, as the name Emmanuel describes, God with us. The heavenly Jerusalem, the new temple encapsulated in the body of Jesus Christ, will descend to earth on the last day, but it also descends to the old earth every time we gather as his saints around his body and his blood at the Lord's Supper. While we do grieve in this world, we do not, as Paul says, grieve as the world does, as those who have no hope, but we do so as those who are comforted by the words of the gospel, that promise that one day all sorrow and tears will be behind us. In other words, even though we have not yet experienced the final thing, In Jesus Christ, we already have every truly good thing, and all of his promises stand fulfilled here in the present day, just as they do in the future. As St. John records the words that he was commanded to write down, we should know that this is not the first time that John has heard this promise. In our gospel reading this morning from John chapter 16, Jesus is speaking with his disciples on the evening before his crucifixion, and he tells them that very soon they will see him no more. They will weep over this fact, and the world that hates God will rejoice over the death of his Son. However, Jesus also promises that their sorrow will be short-lived, that it will quickly turn to joy, and that the momentary, temporary suffering they endure is necessary for the good things to come, much like the labor pains that accompany a woman giving birth to a child. When a woman gives birth to a child, there is pain, but when the child arrives and she is finally able to hold him in her arms, all thoughts of the pain she had just experienced seem to disappear. All she can see now is the precious child before her as she experiences a mother's joy with the one that she has been carrying for 9 months and only now is able to look at him face to face. So it is with us. Jesus may be hidden from our earthly eyes, and yet he is still here just as surely as you or I am. We may grieve temporarily, but we know that the joy that will follow will be so great that we won't even remember what we were crying about in the first place. Yes, we may die, but the life that follows will be so full that we won't be able to imagine properly calling anything that came before it life. All of this because at long last, we will finally have beheld the face of Jesus, maintained our confidence in him through every trial, and trusted in him through our own walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As my family and I prepare to depart for our new call that God has summoned us to, that is my earnest prayer for this congregation, that you may press on, being ever mindful of Jesus, and that the man, whoever he may be, that you call to be your shepherd, would go about the Lord's work of bringing Christ to his people and wiping the tears from your eyes, and that every Sunday from here until the last, you remain ever confident that the dwelling place of God is with man, and that Jesus Christ is truly here in this place among you. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name. Amen.